medical advisor. Every week we talk with Dr. Vandegrift. Today, Dr. Brian Adler. And today we're going to be talking about Parkinson's disease, which I must admit I know very little about, so I'm interested to find out more about this. Good morning, Dr. Adler.
Good morning, Jim.
Now, this is I've known people that have had this, and all I really know about it is, you know, you notice their hands shaking, and there's a little bit of difficulty walking. I don't know what it is, but apparently it affects our nervous system or our motor system.
Well, that's correct. It's a very common illness. We're seeing more of it. We don't really understand why, but there has been an increase in Parkinson's, and we're seeing it now even in younger people. Typically, it was a disease where we would often see it in people, you know, in their 70, 80 years of life. Now we're beginning to see it earlier, people in their 60s and even 50s and 40s. It is considered what we call a neurodegenerative disorder, which means there's a specific area of the brain that makes a substance called dopamine, which is a chemical that helps to coordinate our movement. And that specific area of the brain gets degenerated, and again, that area begins to lose the cells that make the dopamine. And as that dopamine level in the brain goes down, people begin to have symptoms of Parkinson's, which early on can be very subtle, often can be missed if not evaluated. So again, people can present in a variety of ways. Typically, we will see folks come in who are beginning to notice a tremor, which is a shaking. Typically, it may be of the thumb. Sometimes it's the fingers and the hand. It's kind of a slow, sometimes almost like a pill rolling type movement with the thumb and hand that comes and goes, maybe a subtle symptom early on. But again, others may be coming in saying that they're having some balance problems. They're not moving, walking quite like they used to. They may have had some falls, or they may notice that they're just not getting around as agile as they used to.
So we don't know the cause of this. So is there, I know you can treat it, but I guess it can't be cured?
Not yet. Again, we have identified, you know, where it is in the brain. We have identified what's causing the problem. And again, the treatment is replacing the dopamine. So again, there's medications that can increase the dopamine levels back to where they should be, often with significant improvement of symptoms. Now, again, there's a variety of different medications we will sometimes use in mild to moderate cases. In people that have more severe cases, they're doing some very exciting things now where they're implanting electrodes into the brain for people that have very severe disease.
Wow.
And there's a lot of research now with trying to actually find ways to replace those cells in the brain. Now, a lot of that is experimental, and we're not yet there at a point where that can be made available. But I would expect at some point down the road that we're going to come up with some ways where we can actually replace those cells in the brain.
Well, that's good news. And I know that people can. Michael J. Fox has had it for decades. Muhammad Ali had it for decades. He just passed away earlier this year. I don't know if that was related to his Parkinson's, but I do know that it's something that people can deal with. Michael J. Fox still tries to work with it as an actor. But we don't know where it comes from. I mean, it's not like a virus that you catch, or is it, you know, hereditary? It's not environmental, right?
We don't know. There are some forms of Parkinson's that are hereditary. Most cases are typically not. Again, whether we find out at some point that it's due to either viruses or something that attacks the neurologic system, at this point we do not yet know. So again, it's an active area of research. Again, I think, you know, the important message for folks out there who, again, may be experiencing some problems with movement, walking, balance, because those symptoms sometimes early on can be mild, it's probably important for their healthcare provider to either, you know, do a good neurologic examination, look obviously for other potential causes, sometimes we will do scans of the brain. Not that that will show it, because, again, the typical scans and blood tests will not make a diagnosis of Parkinson's. We do not have a specific test. We don't have a particular scan. It really is a clinical diagnosis based on the symptoms that the patient has. Sometimes it's quite obvious, and the physician can make that diagnosis initially. Sometimes when it's subtle, patients get referred to neurologists, specialists, who will make that diagnosis early on. Because, again, particularly in younger folks, and I've seen people as, you know, young as 40s and 50s, are presenting with early Parkinson's disease, that the neurologists, again, have made this diagnosis early on before the symptoms become, you know, very obvious from the typical symptoms.
Is there anything that we can do in our diet or exercise or anything that may help prohibit this or lessen our chances of getting it?
Unfortunately not. And again, you know, I would hope at some point as we develop genetic tests to determine who may be genetically more predisposed to it, we may be able to identify people early on who may be at risk. Once and at some point we figure out some way to reverse it or maybe slow the progression, we may actually have medications down the road or recommendations for people who are at high risk. But as of yet, we do not have it. Unfortunately, today, the best we can do is discover it early on. That way, we can attempt to treat it early on. And then again, make sure people understand, you know, what this disease is, how they work with it. Family members often have to be educated because, again, for many people who have this disease, they need support, they need assistance. More progressive forms of Parkinson's can also affect the mental function. So in more progressive cases, people will begin to have some issues that may affect memory, may be affecting their ability to think in the way they typically did in the past. It might affect their sleep. You know, there's a lot of other psychological and different neurologic things that can occur as the disease progresses, so it's important both for patient and family to be aware of that, so all these issues can be addressed as they sort of progress with this disease. It's a disease that typically progresses slowly, so again, those symptoms can be very mild, often for many years, maybe a decade, and then it can progress. Typically, in some cases, it can progress, you know, more rapidly in older years of life. It's an interesting disease that can sometimes go into more subtle remission, where periods where the symptoms are much better. So again, people who are on medicines for Parkinson's, it's sort of an art for doctors who treat it, because the medications that we use for it require a lot of manipulation in terms of how often they take it. Sometimes they come off it periodically. The medicines are very unique in the way that they work, so it really requires some knowledge of how Parkinson medications work. So again, I see patients that are on a variety of medicines that are frequently changed or altered to adjust around their disease, because sometimes the disease can kind of be milder and the medication demands are less, and sometimes it can progress for periods and relapse where medications have to be increased. So good medical management is very important. It's not something you can just, you know, see a doctor every 6 months or, you know, once a year. It does require pretty frequent interaction and involvement with a doctor who understands the treatment.
Interesting. Very interesting. And I guess my last question is, this affects our motor skills, that kind of thing. This is something that we don't die of. It just affects us and gets worse, but we don't actually die of Parkinson's disease. Is that right?
Well, many can die from complications, usually of progressive, not just motor impairment, but many folks with advanced Parkinson's will begin to develop dementia. Mm. So for people who have very disabling Parkinson's, they're at much higher risk for falls and complications of falls. So often people will wind up dying from complications from a fall. which is one of the more common reasons. Often they may have problems with swallowing or digestion problems. So again, they get pneumonias, or again, they have progressive dementias. And again, people that have progressive dementias typically die earlier for a variety of causes. So indirectly, yes, people do die and succumb of Parkinson's when it's advanced and severe. But early on, people can live with this disease very well and function quite well, and have, you know, very normal lives, you know, as long as it's not progressing to the point where people are so disabled that they can't walk and they require assistance from family or being in long-term care facilities in the more advanced cases.
Yeah, very fascinating stuff, and concerning that it is starting to show up now in younger people than we've seen in the past. Folks, talk to your health care providers about this, especially if you start noticing that little tremor. Get it looked at, and remember, if you don't have a health care provider, you can always go to South Strand Internist and Urgent Care. They're located in Surfside Beach, or you can just call them at 843-650-4006. And a reminder that these programs are now available to you in podcast form at the South Strand Internist website. If you got into the middle of this and you'd like to hear the whole show, you can just head over to their website and listen to it again. Dr. Adler.